As we come to God's word, we remain seated and look to Him for help. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we use the words of the psalmist, and we pray that the doors of our hearts may be open to the King of glory, that it would be our earnest desire this morning to know His presence and to experience His glory, and to ask ourselves and to say to each other, who is this King of glory? And for us to find in Thy word, through the mighty working of Thy Holy Spirit, that the Lord of hosts is the person of Jesus Christ Himself. We wait upon Thee, and Lord, speak, for Your people are listening. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord, through the lips of the prophet Isaiah, is speaking to the ancient church to tell them why they are to experience the judgment of the living God. And so it is a prophecy concerning the exile, but it is also a call to repentance, for the Lord is showing them where they have failed and where they have fallen, and seeking to restore them and to save them from the impending judgment. There are various reasons that are given for God exercising His judgment upon His ancient people. But in verses 13 and 14 we are told that one of the reasons for the judgment falling upon the people of Israel was their failure to keep the Sabbath day. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And in these two verses, we noticed first of all that the Sabbath day is a feast day. It is not a day for fasting, it is a day for feasting. In chapter 58, the first 12 verses, God, through Isaiah, has reminded the people of how they have misused the fast days that Jehovah had given to His people. And so if you glance at verse 3, he says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you, O Lord, have taken no notice? God had prescribed certain days for humiliation, for fasting, and for prayer. And these people had misused it, they had abused the fast days. But God, in His wisdom, had also given to His people days for feasting. Days in which they were not to afflict their souls, but to enjoy the goodness of all that God had bestowed upon them. And we know that the Sabbath day was a day for feasting, because in verse 13 we are told that it was the Sabbath. And that simply means it was a day of rest, a day for recreating, a day for relaxing the body and the mind, and a day for unbending after all the exertions of the week that has gone. It was a day of rest. And because it was a day of rest, it was a day for feasting. You notice also that twice in these two verses, it is spoken as a day of delight. In the middle of verse 13, he says, "Call the Sabbath a delight." And the Hebrew word that is there translated delight refers to extravagance, to luxury, to lavishness, to relish, and to enjoyment. This is a day to be enjoyed. This is a day to be relished. This is a luxury that God has given to humanity. And this is an extravagance that comes from heaven's bounty. It's not a day for deprivation. It is a day of enjoyment. And so twice he speaks of it as a day of delight. It is not a day of fasting. It is a day for feasting. It is not the day for bitter herbs. It is the day for wine and for new wine. The Sabbath day then is a feast day. And so he says that it is not for fasting. It is the day of rest, and it is the day for delight. It is not a day of mourning and of tears. It is the day of joy, of jubilation, of thanksgiving, and of rejoicing. I wonder if this is how you and I think of the Sabbath. This is what God intended for the Sabbath. And unfortunately, too often, it is the failure of the Christian church that we have made one of the most beautiful days in the weeks into the most miserable day of the week. It isn't God's intention, but that's what religion always does. It turns the goodness of God into a misery. It is the day for us to enjoy God. It is the day for us to enjoy our families. It is the day to enjoy our Christian brothers and sisters. It is a day of feasting. And I hope you and I have the good practice of spending this joy and this day with joy, those who can rejoice with us, because it is a day of the feast, not a day of the fast. God had given a day of fasting, and it was in preparation for the Day of Atonement in the ancient church. But the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, was a day of feasting. Secondly, we notice that it was not only a feast day, it was also a holy day. For we are told at the middle of verse 13 that it is the holy day of the Lord, and it is a day when we do His pleasure. Now, when the Bible speaks of holiness in reference to things and of people, there are two ideas that always go together. To be holy means to be separate from sin and from the world, but it also means to be separated unto God. There is no point in being separated from the world and sin unless we are at the same time separated unto God. The two must go together. If we are separated unto God, then we are separated from everything that will separate us from God Himself. So this day is a holy day, and that means that this day is to be distinguished from the rest of the week. This day is separated by God and separated for God, and this day is separated from all the other works that we do in the rest of the week. This is a day of rest. But let us not forget that this is also a holy day. What does that mean? Well, in verse 13 he says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. When we speak of the Lord's day as a holy day, we mean that this is the day when we do His pleasure, not ours. And so what is right or wrong on the Sabbath day is determined by Him, not by us. And so the question that we ought to constantly ask ourselves when we are unsure about whether something is good or blessed and holy for the Sabbath day, the question we should ask ourselves is this: am I doing this for my pleasure, or am I doing this for somebody else's pleasure, or am I doing this for God's pleasure? If it is done for God's pleasure, then that is the right use of the holy day. And so he reminds them, the prophet Isaiah, that if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. We keep the Sabbath day holy by not doing what pleases us, by refusing to do what pleases other people, but by doing what pleases God. But then he puts it in another way when he speaks in verse 13 and he says, the holy day of the Lord, you call it honorable, and shall honor Him not doing your own ways. We do His pleasure, and in doing His pleasure, we keep it a holy day. But in the second place, we honor Him on His holy day. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, translates this word, honor Him, as worship and prayer. That is to say that the way in which we honor God is by coming into His house and calling upon His name in prayer and bowing our hearts before Him in public and private worship. This is a day of rest. But this isn't only a day of rest. It is also a day of worship. And you and I keep it holy by doing His pleasure and by participating in His worship. The writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament reminds the early New Testament Christians not to forsake the assembling of the Christian church, but to make every attempt to present themselves in the worship of the Christian church. You and I are to keep this day holy, and we keep it holy by seeking to do His pleasure and seeking His face in the worship of His people. But that is still not enough. In verse 13, at the end, he says, "Nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words." Now, that may refer to vain words or idle words, what you and I would colloquially speak of chit-chat. But I think that in the context of the Hebrew psyche and their worldview, it refers to the whole concept of worship, when in the liturgy of worship, we come to the liturgy of listening to God. In worship, God speaks to us, and it behooves us to listen to Him when He speaks to us. And I think what Isaiah is reminding the people is to say to them that on the Sabbath day you should keep it holy by quietening your hearts and coming into God's presence and listen as God speaks to you. We keep the Sabbath day holy, and we do it by doing His pleasure. We do it by worshipping Him, and we do it by listening to His word. 6 days of the week we are kept busy. 6 days of the week we may not have the time to rest, to reflect, and to meditate, and to listen to Him. But this day has been separated by God so that you and I can worship Him. And in worshiping Him, we listen as He speaks to us in the public reading and in the public singing and in the public proclamation of His own holy word. The Sabbath day is a feast day. The Sabbath day is a holy day. But you notice that in verse 13 especially, that Isaiah puts the prescription of the Sabbath in the negative form. From not doing your pleasure, from not doing your ways, by not finding your own pleasure, by not speaking your own words. And sometimes we look at this negative form and we say, the whole day is negative. And so we turn this day of blessing into a day of misery. But I think there are at least two reasons why Isaiah puts it in the negative. The first is that he is reluctant to go beyond the law of Moses. Moses had put it in the negative form in the Ten Commandments, and Isaiah does not wish to go beyond the law of Moses. But there is a second reason for putting it in the negative. And think about this for a moment. The way human beings experience the greatest freedom is when God puts things not in the positive, but in the negative. That's when you and I have the most flexibility. That's when you and I enjoy the most liberty. That's when you and I are made and reflect the image of God most. You see, if God through Moses and Isaiah had said, these are the only things that you could do, then that restricts our liberty. But here he puts it in exactly the opposite form. He tells us what we can't do. In other words, everything else is permissible for us to do. So he puts it in the negative, not to restrict us, but to give to us the freedom that he has endowed us with in creation. And as Christians and as those in the Church of Jesus Christ, I hope that you and I are extremely careful and judicious about what we think of the Sabbath and what we expect of others on the Sabbath. Let us not dare to go beyond Scripture. Because what God has spoken, only God has spoken. And if you and I have the audacity to add to Holy Scripture, then you and I will have to face the judgment of Almighty God. Because the addition and the subtraction to the Word of God faces the wrath of God. The question then for us is this. When you and I want to do something on the Sabbath day, it is this. Why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? Am I seeking to please myself? That's wrong. Am I seeking to please somebody else? That's wrong. Am I seeking to please God? That's the only true and holy way. Rabbi Duncan, Professor John Duncan, who was well known in Edinburgh in the 19th century, put it very well when he said, I have a long list of things that I do and don't do for myself. But I have a short list for other people. You and I can have a long list of do's and don'ts for ourselves. But let us be careful to limit the list for other people to that which is revealed in Holy Scripture. The Sabbath then is a feast day. The Sabbath is a holy day. And then finally we find that the Sabbath is a blessed day. In verse 14 he says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The Sabbath is a blessed day. Because when you and I enjoy it, and when you and I enjoy it as the Lord's holy day, then he says that we shall delight ourselves in the Lord. And in the Hebrew it is in the perfect tense, that is to say, that when we delight in God, that means that we find the Sabbath as a means of grace, as an avenue that leads us to God Himself. We find ourselves in the presence of God. We find ourselves experiencing the face of God. And in His presence we are nourished. And in His presence our faith is increased. And in His presence our love for Him is increased also. the Sabbath and the proper use of the Sabbath, the ordinances of grace and the sacraments, they bring us into the very presence of God. Or in the words of the writer to the Hebrews, that we come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, to God who is the judge over all mankind, and we come into the presence of the spirits of just people made perfect. Do you know what that means? If there is some Christian person who has passed away from your family, your father, your mother, your grandfather, your grandmother, the closest that you will get to them on earth is in the act of Christian worship on the Lord's Day. Because in the act of the worship of the church on earth, we are lifted up into the very throne room of heaven, and there with the church militant in heaven, we bow down in worship before God. We are taken into the very presence of God on the Sabbath day and in the holiness of the use of the Sabbath day. This is why this is a day of blessing. But it is a day of blessing also because the proper use of this day guarantees good success. Verse 14, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. Let me just suggest this to you. You try it and you prove it wrong, and God is always true, and you will prove His word to be true. Just try this. Keep the Sabbath day holy for one Sunday and see how the rest of the week goes. You will find that the rest of the week is blessed to you. You will notice that the roughness of your life has been smoothened by the Spirit of God. That things could have gone wrong have gone right for you because God has gone before you. But at the same time, refuse to honor the Sabbath day, and you will see for yourself that the week that promised you so much has gone all wrong, and all the smoothness has vanished, and you experience nothing but roughness and hardship. If you and I keep the Sabbath day, the first day of the week, then the rest of the week will go well for us. It does not mean that there will be no difficulties, but it does mean that in the midst of the difficulties, you and I will triumph, and you and I will prove victorious by the grace of God. There are hills, there are high hills, but He will cause His people to ride upon the high hills of the earth. This is a day of blessing. Because we experience the presence of God, we experience the good success that comes from God, and finally, we experience the good inheritance that comes from God. And I will, in verse 14, feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the Old Testament church, this was simply the inheritance of the land of Canaan, the promised land. But as Christians, we too have a promised land, don't we? Ours is not an earthly Canaan, but we look forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. We look for that heavenly Jerusalem, We look for that eternal rest. We look for that land where there will be no more sickness, no more sorrow, and no more tears, and no more separation. And this inheritance is given to those who enjoy the Sabbath. And the reason for it is quite simple. Because the Bible speaks of heaven as the eternal Sabbath of the people of God. If you and I do know how to enjoy the earthly Sabbath, then you and I have chosen to forfeit the eternal Sabbath that God has prepared for His people. What is the Sabbath day then? What is the Lord's day? Well, it is a feast day. It is one to be enjoyed. It is not one to be miserable in. It is, though, a holy day. It is the day when we seek His pleasure, when we seek His face in public worship, and when we seek to be attentive to His word. But it is also a blessed day. The feast day, the holy day, the blessed day. For on this day, in the worship of His people, we are taken right into the center of the throne room in heaven. This is the means of grace, and this is the very gateway into heaven. And it is a day of blessing. Because when we honor this day and the God who has given it to us, then He will honor us and He will grant us good success every week. And in honoring Him, we find that He honors us with His own inheritance. But does this mean that you and I are saved? Simply because we keep the Sabbath, that the way into heaven is by keeping the Sabbath. I'm afraid that's not the way to look at it. We do not gain entrance into the kingdom of God by simply keeping the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath and the failure to keep the Sabbath is a symptom. It isn't the disease itself. It is the symptom of the disease, but it isn't the disease itself. What then is the disease? Finally, in chapter 59 at verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. The reason they failed to keep the Sabbath was because in their hearts they were separated from God, and their iniquities, their wrongdoings, had separated them from God. And because their hearts were separated from God, their days were separated from God's day. And if you and I are to keep the Sabbath day, you and I will not do it with our own strength. You and I need to be reconciled to God. You and I need to be brought back to God. You and I need to have our sins and our iniquities washed away. That's the first step. It isn't the keeping of the Sabbath, it is the reconciliation with God. For when we are reconciled to God, it is then and only then that the Sabbath will be sweetness to us, and the Sabbath will be holy and blessed to us. And if you ask, how can I be reconciled to God? How can I stop myself from being separated from God? The only way and the only answer is in the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is the cross of Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus Christ only, because only Jesus Christ was ever kept the Sabbath day holy. Every human being born into this world has failed to keep the Sabbath day holy. But Jesus Christ kept every Sabbath day, and he kept it perfectly holy. And yet you know it was this Jesus Christ who was condemned to die, and it was this Jesus Christ who was crucified. And why? Because we said that he had blasphemed and that he had broken the Sabbath. They said that he was the one who had broken the Sabbath. And you know, even when they accused him of breaking the Sabbath, when he was condemned to die by crucifixion, he did not protest. There was no objection from his lips. He went like a sheep is led to the slaughter, and dumb he was as he went to the cross. And he was dumb, not because he had broken the Sabbath, because you and I have broken the Sabbath. It was your sin and it was my sin. It was your Sabbath breaking and my Sabbath breaking that he carried upon his shoulders when he went to the cross. And today, if you and I come to that cross, and if you and I confess all the wrongs that we have done, and all the many Sabbaths that we have broken, then he washes us. And in the place of our unrighteousness, he gives to us the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Sabbath is a feast day. It is a holy day. And it is a blessed day. The ancient church abused it and so experienced the judgment of God. And my prayer for myself, as well as for you, and for all our family sisters, that you and I will understand what the Sabbath means, and that the grace of God will be given to us to use it for the blessing and the prosperity of our families. May God bless his word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and we are singing here verses 19 to 25. 19 to 25. O set ye open unto me the gates of righteousness, then will I enter into them, and I, the Lord, will bless. This is the gate of God, by it the just shall enter in. Thee will I praise, for thou me heardst, and hast my safety been. That stone is made head cornerstone, which builders did despise. This is the doing of the Lord, and wondrous in our eyes. And then will you sing these words this morning before God? This is the day God made, in it will joy triumphantly. Save now, I pray thee, Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Psalm 118, verses 19 to 25, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
Oh, set ye open unto me the gates of righteousness, then will I enter into them, and I, the Lord, will bless. This is the
That if they had the power, they will force us to work 7 days a week. But we thank Thee that Thou art exalted on high, and that for this time at least, Thou hast given to us this day to enjoy and this day to worship. We pray that Thou wouldst restrain the hands of the evil one, all the workers of iniquity, who seek to take this day away from Thy people. We pray that all their works will come to nothing, and that Thou wouldst bring freedom and the enjoyment of this freedom to Thy people. And we pray that for each one of us, Thou wouldst give to us the faith to believe Thy word, to believe that this is a feast day, that this is a holy day, and that this is a blessed day. Imprint Thy truth upon our hearts and write it upon the flesh of our souls, for we ask it in Jesus' name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.